this counseling was doing me to some body. And she came out of that. And she went on to be a nurse. But
she left the church.
She left the college. She left the church. She was lazy. She just didn't want to work. And she forgot. She forgot where she came from. I don't know how she could have. I mean, she's so horrible.
A lot of people forget all the good things that happen to them.
Always forget the good. Her husband is there now.
Yeah.
And he was her husband at the time. But he's been married, very happy to be married. But she, maybe the father, maybe that why he's reaching for so much, embedded so much hatred in her. I don't know. I'm a firm believer that hatred and negativity makes you sick. But it was just as a man thinketh, so is he. But why did, he did terrible things. He was horrible in the hospital. Even after his baby died, he tried to get the nurses to go to bed with him. And nobody was safe around him. Nobody, I mean. I'm overweight. He was always trying to call me. I mean, just nobody was safe around him. And Opal just sold out to a Peter. She knew better. She didn't touch many times. Something. He was very kind and patient with him. He had a lot of compassion with him. I would stay his ass out. They like to pull people out. Kevin, he said, now don't worry about this. He said, you can guy right across the... Well, Ray was a red-headed guy. Trey Brown was wrong with Ray. He had a wife and two children. And I think he won his wife to love him. And unfortunately, we were all staying in this one house, and I slept with his wife, and he slept with another. And he kept begging her to go there. And I was hoping she would, so he'd shut up. She kind of rejected him, and he felt that. And he would do crazy shit. He could have everything for, like, 4 days. His wife was a bitch. She had no compassion at all, but Jim had a lot of compassion. He was paranoid as hell. Everybody was talking about him, and we'd have to, Jimmy had to sit at the front door so he could get out and hurt himself so we could get his parents there to help him. And, he'd go out and he'd charge drugs, he'd get everything.
He said, and he just do crazy stuff like that. He'd get naked, want to walk out in the street, but he'd take all electrical appliances, radios, toasters, lamps,
okay,
everything, all apart.
Take it,
dismantle
them. The front entrance right now.
How do you get hooked up with these people?
Well, his wife, I think, come and then brought him, thought I guess he'd get healed, but...
She was a racist.
Yeah.
Southern, white, racist.
That's right, she was. Stayed at my house. They come driving in Hayward, California from the airport.
So come in right now.
And the cab driver looked like he needed Nervine when he let him out. He didn't even wait to get paid. He just unloaded him and drove out. He thought he was with idiots. It was funny. That woman stayed with us for about 3 or 4 days, and she cried every day, all day long, all night long, and kept doing something to one of the children, her one child, I think it was. They just, didn't have a child.
She was really cruel.
Yeah. But she was always complaining about the things that she never had and wanted things all the time. I never got her to say anything to me other than the things that she wanted. You know, I didn't have this or didn't have that. Could we do something with that poor simpleton in there? And he was on Thursday's scene when he would come out of the Sarabine trip. He was nuts. He just... Now, Leo is a racist, but I think he's a product of... he's black, but he's a product of the environment that he's been around, and he don't trust nobody white, and I don't think he trusts anybody black. He don't trust anybody. He's when he comes to us, when we had the free restaurant there in Indianapolis, and Leo come in the wintertime, and he come, and he looked about five times bigger than he was, and Ravini got to looking at him, and she thought he wanted, I think, more to eat, wanted a couple or something plates of food, and she said, "Do you need that much? You seem to be pretty heavy," and he showed her. Opened up his clothes and he had newspaper stuffed all inside of it. And you got to remember, back in Indiana, it got 18, 20 below zero in the wintertime. He slept under bridges out in that kind of weather, you know.
Covered up in the paper, usually.
Yeah.
He taught us a lot of things. He keeps wrapping himself in paper to keep warm.
But he would react to people in very crazy ways. He seemed to like Rubina and myself. I could control him, and he lived with me. He lived with Archie. He didn't like Archie, but he lived with Archie. And to take out his resentment, he didn't want to just come right out and do something like physical to Archie, but Archie lived out in Irvington, and he'd been building a house, and Archie had worked, him and Rosie had scraped and saved, and they finally got enough to build this house, and Archie, you know how meticulous Archie is about his own, and they had just got enough money to go and buy a chandelier, or get a chandelier for the front room, you know, and they put it up, and they were standing in there looking at it, and Leo was upstairs, and he pissed down through the floor upstairs and ran off the end of that chandelier on Rosie's head. Archie said, "You just got to do something with this. I can't have him in my house no more." And so he came out and stayed in the church a while, but then he called me long distance in California, and he said he'd come on out. And he lived with me, and that's the one that I got a job in, at Clark's Automobile Agency, the Chrysler Agency there in Ukiah. But over three or four days, I'd have to go out and let Leo was going to kill somebody up there on that lot. But and that's the funny thing, Clark allowed him to have these temper tantrums, but he did work hard when he worked.
Well, me upstairs now, they were driving off about something, and I said, "I believe in integrated marriage," and they wouldn't leave to come to talk to me.
And you said that?
Yeah. I told them in the meeting upstairs, and Jack, Archie came out and said, "Thanks a lot, we can't, we didn't get to see you in my meeting." And the west side of Clinton High is in Brother Road.
Brother Road?
His church.
Well, he had Rhodes had come to Cincinnati, Ohio, and he had heard Jim preach down there, and the gift. He said, "Well, we was, you know, instead of people having to travel so far, we'd go to their places, you know."
What did you say, Rhodes?
Rhodes.
Rhodes.
What? Rhodes R-O-S-E. Reverend Rose from
can you describe some of these reverends? Was he white?
Yes.
White?
Oh, and very persecutive. He was balding, and he was one of them kinds that parted his goddamn sideburn and combed the other side all the way over his eyes there, you know.
How about James Jones?
Reverend Boone was a very pompous, straight-laced and he approached the gospel from a very scientific viewpoint, and not emotional, very staunch. I went into one of his, just got there early one time, and got into one of his meetings. And you always felt like you'd just come out of a classroom, even though it was a meeting and they had the order of service, and you could read it on the little thing there, and just 15 minutes somebody will speak on this subject, and then we'll have a song, and we'll have another thought, and we'll have a prayer, and we'll have a the benediction, and the ladies will meet in room K, and we'll have tea, and that sort of thing. And there was never any warmth, and this guy was very plastic. He liked to have his...
He's the one that called me in and he told me that I had to wear a uniform.
Oh, yeah.
And told me that...
Yes.
He's the one who said that Jim had a heart attack the whole lot. So he's the one who said Jim wasn't
shooting.
And he also told Jim he was the sloppiest dresser that he ever seen in his life. But yet his wife wanted to fuck him. She chased over him, and she was very clothes conscious. She's wrapped up in furs all the time. And Eddie Wilson, I told you, was a short little buck tooth sucker that graduated from somewhere in Kentucky, Bible Seminary. I can't remember the name of it. It's,
everybody can go join that one.
Yeah, it was very, very possessive. Extremely, his wife couldn't hardly get out of eye shot from him. He was always scared that somebody was going to hump her, I guess. But, and I, well, after you looked at Eddie, you would understand why. Eddie always had the feeling that he was a college Joe, you know, and God had called him out of everything to deliver the world. And he had kind of thinning, poofy hair, I would say, kind of poofed up, and he had a great big damn nose, and he had buck teeth. And he really thought he had a contact with God personally, that God told him all of these things. And he would rant, and when, you know, not the basic things of, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Your course on earth is to feed the orphans and clothe the naked and visit the people in jail and keep yourself unspotted from materialism. Eddie was off in the ionosphere and the stratosphere, and then he got into spheres that, hell, I hadn't even heard of, or nobody else had.
He was right there, and of course, by just laying there, didn't move. Which preacher said that?
That was Ross Case. Case Ross?
What did he say?
Ross Case. Yeah, Case. He, now here is a guy that graduated. He come out of Iowa, but he got over... he got kicked out of that church over there because he found him fucking around with one of the children. He was a molester. His wife ran off. Archie and I had to run off over into another goddamn state to try to find her for him. Stole his car. But he tried to convince Archie and I and Jim that while they were fucking, they had prayer. And they had their more glorious times and communion with God at orgasm.
How do you wind up in your time? Follower of Jim Jones all the way up to your time?
He took a very deep concern about the Holocaust, about the nuclear Holocaust, and he was the only one out of our room that built a bomb shelter in his backyard in Ukiah. And my personal reason, the only reason it way that he had money to do that is the son of a bitch lived off of the church for 3 years for nothing there in Indianapolis. He lived in one of our houses that we had there, rent free, ate food off of us, and never paid a goddamn dime, and had an awful time getting his wife even to work in one of our nursing homes. That's the
kind of... Put up with this kind of stuff,
he goddamn near burned our house down there, and he called me one night, but he did not know how to do a fire, and he had closed the gas on the furnace after starting a fire, and coal smoke just backed up and went all through the fucking house, and it was a double. Of course, we had Jeff Case on one side and Virginia Aarons on the other. It wasn't Aarons then, it was Addison. Son Phil,
started.
She was a, Virginia was a little squatty-ass white woman with platinum hair, and her idea of goodness was too nice to even put into words. She talked in melodious, soft, soothing terms, yet she was ate up with diabetes, and every time you tried to get her to curb that a little bit, she would go into a baby state and, do I have to do that? I like good things. Oh, Jimmy. You never referred to him as pastor or reverend or even brother. This Jimmy, I need to have that. You know, I would never do anything like that. Oh, you said, oh, mercy. Oh, I just love you. I think all you ministers are adorable. And at that time, we were trying to raise money for the poor and to keep our program. So to be very sweet and nice, this little malicious bitch that just exuded sugar from her lips went down and bought everybody, all the ministers, a suit. She was a school teacher and made good money. But to be rebellious and do get her own little personal, get her rocks off on us, she bought all of Archie, Russell Lindbergh, myself, and Jim a suit, and none of us learned a suit. Right, so she done it anyhow. And everything that she was told not to do or suggested that she not do, she done. And she was constantly warned by Jim, who loved this poor, simple soul. I know he did, and was very concerned about both of her children. And yet she did not heed anything. She come to me one time and she said, do you think it would be all right, Jack? I met the sweetest man today and he wants to give money to the church. He wants me to come up tonight to the hotel to get the money. I said, do you want to get fucked? That's what he wants. You know. Oh, Jack, do you really think he would? Oh, he seems like such a sweet man. Oh, my goodness gracious. I'll go up there, but I won't do it. I said, you won't get no money either. But that's the type of person she is. How accident, the oldest one, Timmy. I think was he? Yeah, Timmy. God damn, I can never forget Timmy. I heard about Timmy.
She had Timmy with so much of her life that she was practically destroyed. Stephen is here, the other side. But, well, she just was destroyed. And he's a brilliant mind, but you're describing that.
I'm not sure.
Bill had the soundtrack of every movie that was ever made in Hollywood. He had to have a standing approval and consent that before he come out to California from Virginia herself, that when the Indianapolis 500-mile race come on, he would be flown back to Indianapolis so he could watch it every year. And every year he went back there. Because there was some sort of grant or money that he got for being whatever he was. But that money had to go back for that. But getting on back to Virginia.
Did she go to the hotel or
not? No, she didn't go to that hotel. But she certainly gave it a lot of thought. But she's another one of those kind of guys. You'll never know how sweet he is, Debbie Jack.
He's like a small cowboy here.
Yes. Yes, he wore boots and a big wide belt and... he always had a goddamn toothpick hanging out the side of his mouth, and he rolled his sleeves up, his t-shirt, yeah. And his, and so they got married, and he fixed trailers, and he fixed their trailer, and but Jim kept, and he hated any kind of authority at all, and he would stay out of church, and eventually got her out, and Jim would call her and ask her to please stay on her diet, not dead. So the very thing that she was warned about 10 or 12 years ago, It killed her. She finally died of a...
Jim was a racist. Jim Jolie said, I don't care if you can come back to the service anymore, Virginia. He said, but please, please stay on your diet. He said, please, he said, I'm begging you. Please stay on your diet.
In the bush, in Belo Horizonte. And he was an assembly of God. But he had his own way of doing things, you know, but he really thought that he was called of God. But when you would try to bring about the practical ministry that should be done, he never saw that. He thought these people back there needed salvation. And he was not, he was really concerned about building a work for the Assemblies of God. And his wife both contracted some kind of a disease by trusting God, not taking their shot. And their boy, I don't know what the hell ever happened to him, but their daughter come to the valley. You remember Bonnie, don't you? And she hated them when she was in Brazil and with all. Yes, very attracted to Jim.
And she ended up with Harold.
She went with Harold for a while, I think. And she was married to some Johnny. I don't know if she picked that one to do that.
Merch.
We have done too well with both of the merch that we've had.
You were the kid that kind of years ago that the grandparents took the kid out of the church. Jim begged them not to do it. The kid hung himself in the bathroom. They found him in the bathroom. Jim said he's a homosexual and he's going to need us for acceptance. And he's going to need us. He's going to need to know that we accept him because he's not going to have a time accepting his homosexuality. And the Reverend McQueen, they took him out. And they took him out because they...
McQueen.
Because we were black people. And they took him out. And he was found, maybe 6 years later.
Wayne McQueen.
He was hanging in his bathroom by his neck. He found him hanging in the bathroom and hanging himself. And that was years before Jim said he'll never be able to live with it. He said that he can feel he's accepted here, that we love him. It doesn't matter if he's a homosexual, we can accept him.
Yeah. And I knew these McQueens.
They're still right there. We had written to that woman for a while.
I mean, it was...
And put him back into kind of that too. We had a big dinner that day, a big banquet. Yeah, Sharon Ennis was new in the church.
At the Green
Talk there in Redwood Valley. Yeah, and somebody would say, they brought, he came in, but something he had to take it. Take it home.
He had an imbalance. It was when he was having trouble with that sugar balance, you know. And it would throw him into a shock, you know, his insulin rate.
Yeah.
And he had some medication, but anyhow, he went into... back into that room, and he was speaking in Russian. But right there in the Grange Hall.
Everybody in?
Yeah. And
Latin clear?
Yes, sir. And
how did you do it? You stand up there.
I didn't know one time to get up and walk around the room. There were tables, rows of tables. And boy, I mean, he
called him the bourgeois, and
he
tore some goddamn shit off of some women's neck.
He said, the necklace. He was serious about the necklace.
The woman was wearing a necklace? These were all people in the temple?
Yeah,
they have a necklace. And he was really serious that they dressed him to a bourgeois. And somebody got up to say something, and he said, you're too fat. And he was just really, and I got up.
Mike was being totally honest with
him. Yeah. He was totally honest with him. He was totally honest. He said, he just told him, you know, what they were doing wrong. I got up to say something. I said, well, I thought, and he said, I didn't know what he said because I couldn't understand the dialect. I couldn't understand the language. And he said something, and he blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I don't know what he said, but I was sure he said I was a big mouth. And I think that's what he said. But I went by, and he just, He was just seeing he was reacting to all the bullshit around him. I mean, people in their fancy clothes. And that wasn't what we stood for.
He looked at
we didn't understand him. We never understood him.
That's not what he stood for, but that's what you guys were doing.
We were doing. He was letting us do it, but it was...
Joe. Remember Joe? That was... That was Jim. He got niche. Dick, oh, strong. God damn. Just, yeah, really, I remember, you know, and...
He was being very honest, and he was speaking in a kind of dialect.
No, he was speaking Russian, you know, but, I mean, you could tell, he was rejecting Joe. And by God, several other people, and I'm trying to think of, you know, I just thought of that.
He was writing that grain trial? There were no guests there, this was just a church.
No, it was a family, But what was interesting... Some of those people that he was hitting right on there, then he had them pegged in his psyche. He had them pegged, and I mean, it was even coming through then. You know, I mean, whatever period that was that was coming through right then, man.
I mean, like they might have hung on for a while longer, but eventually they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 or 5 hours he was into that situation.
Yeah. He just really told people where they were at.
He would tell about their weight, about what their commitment was to communism. He was calling just what it was.
He shared me with those new in the church. One day he just came in the church, and he said, oh, she said, I wonder if I, you know, she's little short things, very into everything, very bright and pleasant, but she came in as this hippie, this liberal, orgy-orientated hippie. And everything was sex, you know, oh, you just had enough sex, and the world would be happy if we had sex. And she's still believing that women and all this. And she got up and he said, and she said, well, I certainly feel that I could be dedicated to it. He said, could you put your level of study on the altar of the revolution? Could you do that? And just, and he said it hard enough. I don't know if it was verbatim, but it was something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She almost fainted, She said, oh, she's and somebody else got up and he said, what are you doing for? She said, well, I've given my... People were saying what they had done for this cause, and Virginia Aarons or Virginia Richard got up and said, well, I have certainly done all that I know to do for the poor, and I cared about... And he said, oh, shut up.
He said, get out of me, because I was, at that point, I was about the only one that, when we were out in public meeting, would take care of any of his medication or any of the, you know, his water or any of those things, you know. And shit, I went up to help him, you know, Jesse, and he turned around and he looked at me like, who in the fuck are you, you know? And he yelled me, you know, like he was asking me a question, and he pointed to people, and it was all in Russian, you know, and
understand.
Well, then he would speak in some English. But he says no. He would break it. I mean, but then he would get back and he would like he was just really frustrated with that thing. And then he would talk to him. He'd can. Verse with them the way they could understand, and then he'd blister your ass in, you know, just in English, you know. And we were having a like a counseling meeting. There was some debatable point, and something had happened. And I forget the incident because it scared the shit out of everybody because of what happened. But it just kind of like a glow, and then he wasn't there no more. And we were at a place that everybody else was around doors.
Yeah,
that door, that door, yeah. Mm. And then he was gone for a while. And then when he come back, there was the same glow and he was back there. And
how long have you gone? Did you notice? Did you continue doing things between the time?
No, we're
You just kind of sitting there.
Yeah.
But what was it that something had happened that needed him? Either somebody was on the road. About it.
So you several just sat there and you were kind of in a state of shock or
whatever.
Yeah. Gone, and then you felt a space of time go and you were just sitting
there. Yeah.
You're conscious and everything else.
Yeah.
And you were gone.
But Karen testified later that he appeared there. She was
okay.
You kind of think of the incident when it was a letter. And caused this woman, the piano player, to lose her inheritance. And she had written the letter that this Virginia was attending a church. Virginia was attending a church where we had nurses in the church. And the mother just owned the daughter, wrote it out of the will. So this night in this service, Jim said something about the name of this person. And he said, somebody here knows this person. And he said, he said, I see a woman, and he said, I see a woman, and he described her. He described what she looked like, her hair and the look. And he said, kind. And he said, Virginia, he said, do you know? And Virginia said, yes. And he said, she says that she caused you to be disinherited. Is that true? And Virginia said, yes. And he said, Virginia, she wants you to forgive her. And she, if you don't forgive her, she'll have to remain in suspended animation. She's caught in a world between worlds. And Jim was the only metaphysician that she could come through. And she said she was begging that she could be reborn. And she could get released from that. She had to get forgiveness to be released because the whole race thing has a lot of bad vibrations. And she wanted to be released, and as he spoke the prophecy, she was released into a baby nap where she would live 3 weeks, but she had experience because she had caused such horror to people for her racism and things that she had done.
The woman that was suspended there.
Yeah. He said, I never will forget. He said, she's going, and he said, Virginia, can you forgive her? Virginia said, oh, got it. And he said, she's going away. He said, she's got tears in her eyes. He said, she's backing up. And he just moved his hand like that. He said, you're leaving.
And then they couldn't even speak English. They come there, and she had cancer real bad. The man, and he healed that woman in Africa, and I can't think of their name. You remember?
Yeah,
they're in Africa now, carrying on. Work. They were over here on just a visit for some was over there for some reason or other, and I forget what it was, but anyhow, I got letters that she's doing fine, and she was eat up.
And the car won't start. I said nobody knows what things are. All they have to do is take care. And he knows nothing about mechanics. He told me what they had to do. And I was back and I said, that's all you had to do with it. And Walter said, that's not what's wrong with the car. I said, it is what's wrong with the car. He said that to me. He said, did you figure out what's wrong with the car? And so he said, I don't know. And he looked it up, and the brush had gone from there. So that was some old tiny minute brush in the generator. I sure the hell hadn't been in my car. So Tyson Thrush had cancer of the breast. Went in for operation, and she asked the doctor to check again. You know how I can? I call her Hycynthia. But it's Tyson. And she went in for she asked the doctor to do a biopsy, and he said, I've already examined you, and you have cancer. When you do a, it's a breast op. She said, please, one more time. She said, to get a biopsy on her, and she said that he looked at her in the face, and he said, I'm amazed that the cancer is gone.
She got both of them
in Indianapolis. She'd have to ask Harrison who the doctor was. For weeks, I couldn't talk. My voice just quit, and we were in service. He said, why don't you just sing, man? He said, why don't you just sing? I'll just sing for the people. He said, come on, try to sing. And I it was cracking. At first, I thought it was cracking a little bit more, and it was just like that. It was fat.
That's before Mark can get up there, the snowstorm, and there's one half the time getting up there. And we had to start the meeting. You were up there once, too. Can you go to Seattle? Yeah.
I was in Seattle.
Remember, we got that place where that Dutchman...
Yeah. He did it from... No, what he did is he called in. That's right.
Mark. Right.
And I'm talking about a time where he had Mike on stage and he told the audience, he said, his thought can be conveyed to him. And he just pushed them into his head. And Mike called the people out and told them what was going on.
But what I was going to tell you, the phenomenal about this situation that he called us, he told this lady that would be there, and I called her out, and she'd had a one thing to let her know that she had had an obstruction in her bowel, and she had a chicken bone wedged in her bowel. I told her that. Yeah. But she had had, she'd been having trouble with her shoulder and her arm, and she was kind of half paralyzed in there. And I told her a bunch of stuff. I forget what was all on that now, on the thing there that he had had them write out, that he'd called in what the people was going to be there and what was on there. So I read all this stuff off, and I said, now, he knows all of that stuff. And I told her about her arm. Said, that's right. Well, if all that other stuff was true and he knew that, he says, you can be healed. I said, raise up your arm. She went, just got it up, Val. And I thought, Jesus Christ, you know, what do you do now? And I said, he said you can be healed. Raise your arm. Walk. Up it went. And that old lady come unglued. And, you know, but I mean, it's, you think it's, you just, you know, there must have been a doubt in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Because, well, I had everything right there, you know, and I thought, you know, I don't think that I thought that, you know, but evidently I said, raise up your arm, and on the right. She didn't raise her arm up all the way, you know.
You're getting real bad arms, giving all the people bad time. We'd gone to a meeting. They wouldn't come to our meetings, but we would go to theirs. In fact, Jim would, when Archie was Seventh-day Adventist, Jim would let Archie have his church on Saturday in his church, and he would go to it, in Indianapolis. We would go to his, we'd all go to Archie's church on Saturday, his service, and we'd go to Jim's, and he'd always honor Archie. Never told him to change. He let him have his service on Sunday. But anyway, this
Archie
night.
Eventually gave up.
But not due to no pressure. He had the repression of will. And so we went to, Joe Fells and I went, drove miles to go to Golden Rule. Golden Rule was like, 16, 20 miles from, and so, I mean, they were speaking bad against Jim that night, and we were always on this subject, because they had one black person, and we thought that was tokenism, you know, and I would take him on, and so I think Joe was a little embarrassed by my behavior, so I took him on. They were going on, I said, well, one black person here doesn't represent integration. So, you know, when we come home that night, Jim said, on the way home, we stopped by his house. We drove in from the gate back into the house, and he came out, and he said, well, how are you? And I said, we were talking, and he said, you see, he's just talking different and kind of closed his eyes, and he said the lady you shook hands with you tonight, Patty.
4:30.
Did you know the lady you shook hands with you, who had the emblem on her jacket, he said, do you remember she smiled and took your hand? And it kind of shook me up, you know, and I said, well, I remember a lady, but he said, think about it. And all of us saw her saying, he said, do you remember her name? I said, yeah. because she's a traitor. But she wrote a letter about us and trying to have things put in the paper. And she was married to one of the men out there. And he said, she took your hand and smiled. He said, do you remember her teeth? And I said, yes. And he said, in the time of her life, she was a Celtic. Well, I didn't know what the Celtic was. Celtics were people who ate fish. And alive. And I kind of wondered him. He said, you should more observe and see. And it kind of seemed to get me kind of mixed in the sea and embracing her. And the light flashed at the window. And I jumped up and went up and he said, peace of mind.
Thank you.